Lord's worthy, amen. Worthy of all praise, worthy of all glory, worthy of all honor. He deserves you. Let me say that again. I said he deserves you. Amen. He fought hard to obtain you. He sacrificed much to be with you, to have you in his presence. And he wants you to be in his presence. The choice is ours whether we will go into his presence, whether we will pursue hard after God. I heard a man say the other day, he said, we are men who pursue a God who has already pursued us. And I thought, what a statement. What a statement. God, that's what I want to be. I want to be a man that pursues you, that runs hard after you. I don't want you to have to chase me down, Lord, and find out where I've been. I want you to know I'm chasing you down so I can keep up with where you're going. Amen. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord praise to this morning. He's worthy. I'm going to Matthew chapter 8. We're beginning a new series of messages. And ladies, forgive me, but I want to preach to the men. And so this morning I'm going to begin preaching a man under authority. A man under authority. Look here in Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority. That's where God's given me this text. You see that? I am a man under authority. Having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. What a statement. What a profound statement. And Jesus said this, and I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. As the Spirit of the Lord has directed me in this new series, A Man Under Authority, the title of this message this morning is, Even Leaders Need Help. You know, ladies, the devil's not after your makeup. He's not after your status. He's not after your jewelry. He's after your husband. He's after your men. You know, mothers, the devil's not after your house. No, he's not after your home. He's not after your car that you drove in here, that you drove to get up here in. He's not after that. He's after your sons. There's been a war raging for many years. There's been enmity between the seed of the woman and the enmity between the enemy himself. There's a constant battle in men. And you don't even know it, ladies, but men are so secluded and so quiet. They're constantly warring. There's a constant battle to perform, a constant battle to be strong. And the enemy is on the prowl. And what his number one goal is to destroy men. Destroy men. Destroy that man who was created in the very image of God himself. That man that represents the very picture of the King of Glory. Destroy him. Bring down the home. Bring down the job. Because the enemy knows if he can get the men, he's got the home. If he can get the man, he's got the job. If he can get the man, he'll get the church. All he's got to do is get the leader, the God-ordained, the God-positioned leader, and tear him down, and surely He will win. Surely he will win. There's a difference between being a male and being a man. There's a difference. Ezekiel said God went in search for a man to stand in the gap. It wasn't that there was no males available during the time that Ezekiel wrote this. It wasn't that God didn't see the male gender there, but God said, I didn't find a man to stand in the gap, because God sees men differently than just a male gender. There's more to being a man than just being a male. There's a lot of men who know how to get into a bed with a woman, but there's not a lot of men who know how to be a husband. Come on now. There's a lot of men out there who know how to make babies, but they don't know how to be fathers. There's a difference between being a male and being a man. It takes a lot of strength for a man to stay in a situation and keep working hard and being diligent and being spiritual and being strong. And it takes a lot for that man to do that. And there's a big difference between a male and a man. Let me give you some alarming statistics that prove we have plenty of males but not a lot of men. 71% of high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. 71%. That is a very staggering number. Here's another one. 71% of teenage pregnancy comes from fatherless homes. That's because teenage girls long for the touch of a father who knows how to touch them properly and love them properly. And that daughter goes looking for any male that will give them any attention. 85% of children with behavioral and mental issues come from fatherless homes. 90% of runaways, listen at 90% of runaways come from a fatherless home. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 85% of youth in prison come from fatherless homes. There is a serious fight against men to be God's men or God's leaders. And just in case you didn't think the enemy is attacking men, 80% of all suicides are males. 80%. That's a staggering number. There are more men dying and killing themselves day by day because they feel the pressure to perform. There's an epidemic in our society of absent fathers that are not there. But listen, there's even a more horrible epidemic than just absent fathers. Because fathers, you know you're more than just a physical presence. You're more than just a provider. You're a spiritual head of your own home. You're supposed to be a spiritual leader. Men, it's a shame when your wife has to take the step and say, I will be the spiritual leader, when you should be the spiritual leader. God ordained you, man, to stand up and say, this is the direction we're going in. This is what we're doing. God made you the compass of your home to point towards heaven and say, that's where we are going. And that's my family. That's my home. The father, the home, is supposed to be protected by the man. I told my son, I looked at him, I grabbed his arm. I said, you see those muscles you're proud of? My son, every now and then, he ain't in the house, is he? Oh, he is. Sorry, baby, for what I'm about to do to you. My son, he's becoming a young man, a very strapping, strong young man. And every now and then he goes, boom, boom. Sorry, babe. Firepower. And I love my boy for that. He makes me laugh when he does that. He gets, when he comes in and he And he's doing sit-ups, and he goes, "Look, Dad." And I go, "Yeah, you're just a young man. Look at you. You know, I'm proud of him. Proud of him." And I told him, "You know what those muscles are for? They're for protection. God made you strong so that when you're in your home, you'll be able to tell the devil, back off, that you'll be able to defend, that you'll be able to hold down the fort, that when the enemy comes in, you'll stand the ground and say, devil, get off my family, get away from my children, get away from my home." He made you strong for that reason. The problem today is not that we don't have fathers in a home, especially in the church home, but we don't have fathers who are stepping up to the plate to be spiritual leaders. They'll provide physically, they'll provide emotionally, they'll hug their children, they love their children. But when it comes to the spiritual aspect of their leadership, many fathers, many men neglect their spiritual life. I know men who know how to go to the gym and work out on a very religious basis. And those men neglect a lot of their spiritual life. And if their physical physique, if their spiritual physique was just as important as their physical physique, we would have giants in the spiritual realm if it was just as important. If God was just as important as your next paycheck, we would have spiritual giants walking the earth today in this place. The devil would have no room because men would stand up and say, that is not happening on my watch, and you're not going to get away with that in my family, and you're not going to steal my children, you're not going to steal my daughters, you're not going to steal my grandchildren, you're not going to steal my family. When men start not neglecting their spiritual life, giants form, powerful men form. I'm always impressed with a man who takes a stand and says, this house serves the Lord. Amen? Yes, praise the Lord for it. Praise the Lord for those men. Kids, today I was out here and out here watching kids skateboard and from our community, and I went out to them, and I wanted to witness to them, talking about spiritual fathers who are neglecting their spiritual role, husbands neglecting their spiritual role. And I went out there, and I talked to some kids, and I said, hey, man, how come you guys don't come to church? You know, you guys come out here to skate. You're my friends. You know, you guys are good kids. I love you guys. How come you don't come to church? And one of the kids said, I don't believe in God. I mean, just like that. And I'm like, what? I said, who told you that? He said, my dad. My dad told me that God doesn't exist. That's a father who hasn't stepped up to the plate to be a spiritual leader, even though he knows in his heart that he can't look at creation and even explain it. There's a lot of people out there who know how to do the things when it comes to providing. They know how to make a paycheck. They know how to come home. They know how to sit on the couch and watch TV. But they don't know how to read a Bible and pray. Listen, church, God wants men to start stepping up and being spiritual leaders in their home and saying, this is the way the Lord has directed me. I'm going to be the compass. I'm going to be the guide. I'm going to be the protector of this home spiritually. And men, if you'll admit it, oftentimes we are blocked spiritually. We become stubborn. We get blocked up. And I'm going to tell you some of the things that block us up is pressure. Ladies, what you don't realize, there's a lot of pressure on your man. And ladies, when you're going to marry someone, there's a lot of pressure on him. He feels the pressure that he needs to keep a job to take care of you and make sure you're fed, and he feels the pressure that he's got to take care of the home. He's got to provide a home. And when the car breaks down, he feels the pressure that he's got to get that car running again. And when the kids act up, he feels the pressure that he might not be stepping up to that plate. So he feels a little pressure that he may have to step up a little harder. There's a lot of pressure on men to just do and be a man and perform. There's so much pressure. Elijah was hidden in a cave because he felt the pressure to perform. If you go and study the life of Elijah, he finds himself in a cave and he says this. He says, I am only alone. He felt completely alone. He was caught up in the pressure that he couldn't get it done. He couldn't bring about the revival that needed to come, and he couldn't figure it out. Men, don't you feel like that? When you can't get it done, you just feel kind of helpless. I've seen men that have lost jobs and they almost have nervous breakdowns because in their heart they have this pressure on them to take care of their family, and it's difficult on them. I've seen men who got hurt on the job, and I've counseled with them and I've encouraged them because they were hurt, saying, I don't know how I'm going to take care of my kids. I don't know how I'm going to meet the bills. I don't know how this is going to get done. I have sat and listened to these men who have been struggling, and they're locked up in a cave and they can't even see that God is with them. Elijah was locked up because he felt the pressures to perform. He felt the pressures to go forward, and he was locked up. And God said, you're not the only one, to Elijah. Elijah, you're not the only one here. I got 7,000 that won't bow. But Elijah felt like he's the only man. Men, have you ever felt like you're the only man standing for God? When your kids come home from school and they come home with all the junk that the public system can offer, don't you feel like sometimes you're the only one standing there going, hey, 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 that's junk? I can tell you I do a lot. Men, you know the biggest problem with us is we have a spiritual facade. We put on our mask. We put this mask on, and when we come to church, it's, hey, brother. Bless you, man. Good to see you. Bless all of you. I'm so glad to be here. Come on now. Don't act like I'm the only one that puts on a mask, man. You better stay with me. Amen. Stay with me. You've been fighting the devil all week. You and your wife fought all the way to church, but hey, it's good to see you. Bless you. It's amazing how they change once they come in the door, too, that wife and husband. Everything's all, they go, hey! Right? Come on, husbands and wife, you know exactly what I'm talking about. We've got a mask on, and that mask a lot of times hinders us from getting what we need. Men, we need to start becoming more transparent. We become unrelatable when we start putting ourselves in spiritual pedestals. When we start thinking of ourselves higher than we ought to, then the generation below us looks at us and says, it's impossible, he's Superman, I can't be him. I remember as a young minister, I was being trained and being taught, and one thing I lacked was transparency in my teachers. My teachers taught me holiness and they lived it. My teachers taught me discipline and they lived it. My teachers taught me commitment and they lived it. My teachers taught me dedication and they lived it. And when I looked at them, I felt like I couldn't relate because I kept struggling to be committed, to be dedicated, to be faithful. I kept struggling with all those things that they just seemed like strong pillars. Well, then I grew up a little bit. And I realized that they had on what I call a spiritual facade. And they put on the religious mask and they stepped out and said, oh, you can't fall. You can't ever make a mistake. And I lived to this philosophy in my spiritual walk that I didn't ever tell anybody I struggled. I closed in because if I ever opened up, maybe they wouldn't like what they saw. One of the greatest problems, fathers, is our children. They look at us and they don't necessarily know, does he struggle? Did he deal with this? Did my father? We need to be more transparent and open with our own struggles and really be real with what we are. Amen. Because we become more relatable then. That's right. Then the next generation says, hey, he made mistakes. You know what I love about David? He made mistakes. It gives me such peace. If all I read about David was the Psalms and how great God was, and all I read about David was the fact that God anointed him king and he never had a mistake, David would be like this guy way, way, way up there, unattainable. But when I read David killed a man so he could sleep with a woman and do all, I'm like, hey, okay. Relatable David, amen? Because everyone struggles, but when we are not transparent, when we're not honest with our struggles, men, we are not being real with who we are, and people can't relate to us. It's always nice when you're transparent, because then there's less shock when people find out you aren't Superman. Right? When people find out, man, that you're not really the hero, that you're actually a frail human being, that you make mistakes and you stumble and you do deal with weakness and you do deal with failures and you do have a past, all of a sudden, oh, okay. You would be surprised if every man stood up here and told you and was completely transparent with everything they struggle with. Oftentimes we're secluded, men. We hide it. We pack it into our heart. And we never say a word about it. But we keep struggling on and we keep struggling on. And the enemy keeps whooping on us and whooping on us. Because we've never actually went out and sought some help. Notice that this centurion went and looked for help. Amen. Notice that he went searching for help where he was struggling. He knew that he didn't have authority over this situation. Men, you're going to have to recognize there's some stuff you just don't have authority over. There's some stuff you just don't have authority over. And I know that's difficult, isn't it? Don't act like, oh, you all you men like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm transparent. I mean, I'm open. I'm an open book. Everyone knows me. Come on, man. Come on. You know what I'm talking about. I went to Arkansas one time and I figured I had it all figured out. I got it figured out. I know where I'm going. I left in plenty of time to get where I was going. But somewhere in the midst of getting there, I got lost. All you men can relate to this. Took me a long time to stop and ask for, guess what? And I still didn't admit that I was lost. I just said I got off track somewhere. I remember stopping at a gas station. I walked in the gas station. I was in Arkansas, different people down there. And when I got in there, there was a man with overalls on. He had no shirt on. He's behind the cashier. I didn't know if he's robbing the joint or going to take my money or what. I mean, it would look really suspicious. And so I walked up to him, and I said, sir, I got off track here. I'm going to this place, and I need some help. And he smiled. And when he smiled, he had one tooth. Right here. I ain't kidding. One tooth. And I was looking at him. He was talking to me the whole time, and I was looking at him. I was dumbfounded by his overalls, one tooth, and no shirt. I didn't hear a word that man said to me. I went back to the car. My wife said, so where are we going? I said, I don't know. It was worse than when I started. Needless to say, because I would never stop and really ask for direction because I knew where I was going. I was a man. I knew everything. I got lost, people. I got lost bad. Matter of fact, so lost that when I got to where I was supposed to go, the meeting I was going to was already over. And I drove around for 8 hours. Lost, but never admitting I was lost. All you men are, you don't ever do that. We just pull over. We ask for directions, you know. Well, I do that now after I learned my lesson, okay? The centurion realized that there's some things he just don't know, that he cannot handle. His servant is sick. He has authority to tell a man to go and go, and he does go. He has the authority to say, do this, they do that. But he doesn't have authority over palsy. Yeah. And so he says, I know someone who does. Every leader needs help. And that leader went out and found Jesus. Why? Because Jesus has authority. Men, you got to realize something. There's some things in your life you need Jesus to be a part of. You can't exclude Jesus. And on the job, make Jesus a part of it. At home, make Jesus a part of it. When you're doing your work, when you're doing your labors, make Jesus a part of it. We all need help. We refuse help because we get stuck in our spiritual facade and we start pretending. We start acting. We need to abandon the act. You know, being transparent, men, actually builds authentic relationships. If you're transparent, you're for real. If you have two actors who become friends based on the characters that they are in the show, when they get out of the show and that character's gone, they're not friends anymore. When you have on a mask, you can't be real with who you are and you can't truly make good connections, solid good connections that'll be meaningful, long-lasting, that will transform your life. And men, how often do we put on the mask of spirituality and we act more than we really are? Don't act like I'm the only man that does that. Okay? We do this. We put on the mask of spirituality. We say, look, I'm spiritual. And we put on this indestructible attitude. I've seen men in this church who are all over the spectrum. There are men who will sit there like this, righteous and dignified. There are men who will go, woo! I feel you, Pastor. Come on. Pull out the hanky. Right? There are men all over the spectrum that are in this building. And the truth is, it doesn't matter how you act. We oftentimes put on the mask and we say, this is who we are. But we're not ever transparent with our friends, our loved ones, our wives, our children. We're never being honest with our own struggles. And because of that, we don't even have true altar calls. Because when you come to the altar, the mask is on. The mask is on, and so you come to the altar, and you're not even having an authentic prayer meeting. You're just spiritually praying. Well, I thank God I'm not like other men out there who didn't come to church this morning. I thank God I'm not like that publican over there. I pay tithes. I fast twice a week. Come on, man. You know what I'm talking about? That's a scripture, by the way, if you don't know that, man. We put on that mask and we all of a sudden we don't even have authentic prayer meetings. We don't make authentic relationships and we're not being real with who we are. Understand this, men, that real help comes when you're real. Real help comes when you're real. No one knows that you're sick unless you say, hey, I don't feel so hot. No one knows that you're struggling unless you actually say, hey, I'm kind of struggling right now. I need some prayer. But isn't it hard to ask for help? Isn't it hard to act? It's real hard. I don't know what it is in men, but we would rather kill ourselves than ask anybody to help us. And asking for help is like the last straw. It's like, I can't pick up that fifth wheel by my hands, so I better call someone who can actually move it. Right? Because if you could pick up that fifth wheel, you'd try it. And I'm sure some of you men have tried some pretty dumb things because you didn't want to ask for help. We need help, men, sometimes. We cannot do it alone. David had Jonathan, Moses had Aaron, and Elijah had Elisha, and the disciples had Jesus. And when Jesus was gone, he gave them the Holy Ghost. We shouldn't be alone. God said it's not good that man be alone. When we start becoming real men, problems are solved a whole lot faster. To this day, I regret not pulling over and saying, hey, I'm really lost. I don't know where I'm going. Here I am in Arkansas, and this place is really confusing. Can you help me get to where I'm going? And that would have helped me a lot, just stopping and asking for some help. But in me was this stubborn nature that I just couldn't ask. As you get older, men, isn't it humbling to you to ask for help? Come on now. When you can't do something, it's hard on you and you have to ask for help. You have to literally humble yourself to ask for it. But isn't it easier when you do? When you're transparent, when you're real, when you're honest. This centurion realized this one fact. He couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. He couldn't heal a servant. He couldn't do it. He had authority, but he needed somebody else who had more authority. Somebody who had power beyond himself. You know what the biggest problem, man, with us is we got to get out of our own way. The biggest problem is that we, as men, we get in our own way. We block our own selves because of the facade. When all the while help is readily available, all the while power is readily available, Jesus is readily available, and we become like the older brother sitting back saying, well, I don't know why they're all shouting over that one. I've been saved for 50 years. The older brother syndrome is the biggest problem with men as they get in the church. They are the church. They're a part of the church. But they never receive the blessings of what the Father has to offer. They're always around God, but never partying with God. You get what I'm saying? They're always where He is, but they're not partaking of all that God has because they've got on the dignified man look. When you have on that dignified man look and you have on that self-righteous attitude that thinks of itself higher than it ought, and when you're not transparent and real, and when you're pretending that you are something that you know deep down in your heart, you're just struggling to make it to that. How powerful transparency will become when you're real. Jesus asked this question about the publican and the Pharisee who came to pray. He said, whose prayer was received? The publican wouldn't even look up, but he smote his chest and said, I'm unworthy, I'm unholy. I don't deserve you, Father. I don't deserve you, God. I don't deserve nothing of you. And the Pharisee said, I'm glad I'm not like that publican. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes. I go to church. I'm very faithful. I'm glad I'm not like these people. And Jesus said, who went away justified in that prayer meeting? It was the publican who was real, who was transparent. I've seen men come to the altar, and I've prayed for them, and they're not being transparent. They're not being honest. They're answering the altar call because they felt a little plug that they should probably go down. We have to start becoming real, men. We can't pretend anymore. The time for pretending has to end. The time of the spiritual facade of, oh, I love you, God, but on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you technically forget all about God, has to end. God wants you to realize you don't have authority when it comes to the spiritual realm of things, and you are under His authority. You're a man under the authority of Jesus Christ. And that authority needs to be respected. And there are going to be some things in your life that you cannot handle. You're going to need Jesus to take care of. It's better to be real. That way when those times come, you can deal with it. It's a lot harder on a man who's been playing games with God all his life. And then all of a sudden chaos comes and he needs Jesus in a real bad way. And then he comes crying to God. Aren't you thankful God's loving and merciful anyway, though? Thankful for that. Thankful for that. But men, let us think in our hearts that we ought not to be that way. It ought not to be that God finally gets praise, glory, and honor in our life when we finally get into a place of chaos. But let God receive praise when everything's good. Let God receive praise when everything's wonderful. Let God receive praise when the daughter's married and the kids are married and you got grandbabies coming over. Let God receive praise when everything's honky-dory. You can pay every bill and meet every need that you can meet. Let God receive praise in the good times. And when the bad times come, it'll be a whole lot easier to praise God and give him glory and give him honor with your life. Get out of your own way. Realize, men, you need help too. This man said, I don't have authority over this. Jesus, you do. So I come to you. Because God's in search for real men. Men that'll stand in the gap. Men that'll step up to the plate and be real fathers. Men that'll step in the plate and be real husbands. Men who will step up to the plate and be spiritual leaders. Not just there in a physical realm, but even in a spiritual realm. Who will be the leader. Who will be transparent. Who will be real. Who will quit putting on a spiritual facade and take off the mask and say, I make mistakes, but I'm so thankful that my God is loving and merciful to me, even though I make some mistakes. I want to thank you, men, for being here this morning. It is by what God has in you that great things are going to be accomplished, not just in this church, but in your home, in your children, and around your family, because God has made you a spiritual pillar right where you are. Be God's man. Be God's man.